Good morning. So they asked me to do a song, another song, and I came up preparing, and then they'd ask me if I'd speak or preach as well. And if you know me, I have no problem talking. Some might say I like to hear the sound of my own voice. No, I just, most of the time all I hear is, shh. So I'm going to do a song called Christ in Christ Alone. And while I'm doing that, y'all pray for me. Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love, this righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain, then bursting forth in glorious day. Up from the grave he rose again, and as he stands in victory, since curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine. Bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final death, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man could ever pluck me from his hand till he returns. returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I stand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I stand. Yeah, big shoes to fill. I see I got to do this a few times. Right? Well, we'll wait until somebody brings me a bottle of water. So, I have preached a couple times before. I spoke at a men's conference at Faith Covenant. And first thing I like to do is share a little story about God working in our life and God answering prayers. The enemy has been after our family for decades now. And, you know, if you're not under attack, if you're not feeling like you're experiencing strife, it's probably because you're not living right. Because Satan's not going to attack you if he's already got you. So, there was several years ago, three of our three oldest daughters, if you don't know, are adopted. And they all experienced trauma. But one of them, at a young age, started manifesting this behavior of attacking other kids, becoming violent at school and abusive. She also would steal and hoard things. And we tried several. Jim has been a part of our family for a long time, and he was part of this, and it got to a point to where we did not know what to do. We didn't have any other choice but to find a facility that could help her short term, and we found that in Michiana Behavioral Health in Plymouth. And so late one night, we drove our daughter to Plymouth, an hour and a half drive, and checking her in there, we were in there describing to the doctors or the administration the issues, and you feel like a horrible parent. It's being done out of love, but you feel like you're the worst. And then to have to, after hours, leave your child there. And the whole ride home, Stephanie and I were feeling miserable. And at the time, Isabella and JC were babies. JC was the little baby, and Izzy was two, I think. And we really were talking a lot about, you know, we need a pick-me-up. And we were talking to God and talking to each other, saying, kind of hope the two girls are awake when we get home, even though it's going to be late, because they're such characters. Even at that young age, we were looking forward to them putting a smile on our face. And over and over again, especially, and you know, at the time, if you know Isabella, she hasn't really changed a whole lot. She is a lot like me, and she's ornery, and we knew that of the two, Izzy would be able to put a smile on her face. And we even said, well, if they're asleep, maybe we should wake them up. But we couldn't do that. My mother-in-law was watching them, and when we got home, we walked through the door, and sure enough, they were both asleep. And my heart just sank, and I'm sure Stephanie's did too. And I was like, no. And I scooped up JC, and I carried her up to her crib and put her... Were there any chili cheese Fritos? After singing, I get a little dry. So I carry JC up, and Liz precious little baby and lay her. And I just was talking to God, said, God, I really just need to smile. I am so broken right now. And I come down and I pick up Isabel, a little bit heavier. And I'm just looking at her sweet little face and I'm thinking, God, I need to smile. And I walk her up the stairs and I turn the corner. And she farted. And it wasn't a baby fart, it was a daddy fart. I almost called my mom. And I smiled. And I thought, you know what? God answers prayers. Yeah. Not always in the way we think it's going to be, but He answers prayers, and He knows me. Because the first thing I did was come down and tell my wife. God answers prayers. He hears us. Sometimes His answer is yes. Sometimes His answer is no. And sometimes His answer is not yet. I say that because the power of prayer is important. I ran into a couple of friends the other day at the gas station, and they both were feeling down. And another friend was actually checking out next to me, and he says, do we need to pray for you? And one of them said, I don't think that'll be enough. Really? Have you met our God? Have you not read this book? He parted the seas. He calmed the storm. He raised from the dead. He can handle your problems. But the problem that we face, that I see, that's really on my heart in our world, is it's hard to say, but Satan's winning. We know it's going to happen. It's going to happen for a while. This book tells us that he is in control of this world. And despite our best efforts, and despite our prayers, God said, things will get worse. What once was evil will be seen as good, and once was good will be seen as evil. Isn't that true?
Yes.
Don't you feel sometimes when you go out in public or watch the news or read, if you're on social media, you read, see the things that are on there, don't you feel like the weirdo? Like, why does my morals, and looking at that and saying, that's wrong, why do I feel like I'm alone? That's why we come to church. So we don't feel alone all that much. Satan hates you. If you've given your life to Jesus, if you said, I am broken and I'm a sinner and I need you, he hates you. And he's going to do everything he can to, if he can't have you, he's going to make your life miserable. And he will use your job. He will use your children. He will use your friends, or lack thereof. And I'm so glad that Jim says this so often. When you hear those words saying, I'm not enough, or I'm unworthy, or I might as well give up. Those aren't your words. Sounds like your voice, but it's not. That's the enemy. Those things don't come from heaven. In particular, and this is what I spoke on at the men's conference, is Satan hates men. Now, I don't want to disparage women, because when I do marriages, I often say, God created everything. In the beginning, he created everything. And when he saw that man was alone, it was the first thing God said was not good. What kind of trouble do you think Adam was getting into? So he knew exactly what we needed. We needed women. But if you look at the history of our society, you can see how much he hates men. How many fatherless homes are there? He's been taking men out of their role in the family for generations. And I issue a challenge to the men in the group to say, you are the leader, whether you feel that way or not. You are the leader of that home. You have a role to play. Your wife has a role to play, and you need to respect that, and she needs to respect that. But the hope that we have, and I hope I found it right, Nope, that's not the right one. It's on my guitar. Yeah, Luke 10:16. You know, we even have TV shows about the devil. I pray for my brother all the time. My brother is a fan of this show called Lucifer. And I told him, I said, he says, have you watched it? I said, no, I refuse to. He says, but it's funny. I said, well, I think that's a problem. And he says, well, you don't understand. The character, the Lucifer, it's like he's misunderstood. And he feels bad about some of the decisions he made. So I was like, well, that's all wrong. That's a complete... it's desecrating what the Bible tells us what Lucifer really is, his real nature. So Luke 10:16, the hope that we have. Jesus says... Nope.
10:19.
Thank you. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. We have an advantage. And it's by no power of ours. It's through the Holy Spirit living in us. We have the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions. We have the authority over the enemy. We live in a world that is run by the enemy, but we have the authority. And it's funny that I forgot the scripture, but it's even password at work. It can become very daunting to wake up every day and say, I choose the Jesus way. Anybody hear that song recently? I choose the Jesus way, and to feel like the outcast, because we're swimming in a cesspool of filth. And Jim uses the analogy too, that you can spend time swimming through that filthy pool and still hold on to your morals, but you're still covered in filth. We have the authority to say no. There was a story that at our old church, it was an elderly woman, not unlike Helen, that was battling cancer. She had stage 4 cancer and she was dying. She knew she was dying and she was not afraid. She loves the Lord. And our pastor went to visit her and he was concerned because she was in pain every day and she knew that this could be her last day, and he was concerned because a lot of people at that stage start to say, why is God doing this to me? And start to kind of want to turn their back because they're suffering. And so he told us that he went to see her and asked her how she's doing, and he said, how are you spiritually? And she said, I'm fine. He goes, are you sure? You sure the enemy isn't winning in any way? And she said, Pastor, I have enough of Jesus in my little finger, or my little finger. That's a thumb. I have enough Jesus in my little finger to beat the devil. And isn't that the truth? I also heard this analogy. So, you know, as a Christian, what would you rather have? Would you rather have an enormous amount of faith and walk across 2 inches of ice on a lake? Or have a little bit of faith and walk across 2 feet of ice? Now, the varsity Christians, that I like to call them, would say, I have big faith. But that's where we get it wrong. It's not the amount of faith we have, it's the size of that which we put faith in. Jesus said the faith of a mustard seed would move a mountain. And we serve a big, big God. You got enough Jesus. So when you feel like you are losing, when you feel like you're under attack, know that you're living right. When you feel like tomorrow you just can't face it, know that you're winning because you got enough Jesus. And my wife and I, and by the way, if you didn't know, today's going to be short. Because I didn't have a sermon prepared, but I want you to know that despite the enemy's fiery darts, despite his efforts in every facet of your life, we have the authority through Jesus to persevere. Amen. And we have, as a family, every time we come home, we're like, guess what? This happened. Or we say, hey, we got a medical bill. How are we going to rebudget? I do have a very good job. I've been blessed, but we also have 6 kids and a grandson. My money has shoes on it. It walks out the door once it comes in, and when life throws something in the way, we go, okay, how are we going to do it? And when Satan attacks us, we finally just say, bring it on. We got enough Jesus. Bring it on. Because this world is not our home. And you can find happiness, and you can find that because we have the hope of Jesus. So, what do I do now? We pray?
Amen.
Okay. Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm thankful that Lord, you're in the interruptions. You're in the unknown. That even when we have an expectation for a preacher, you send a goofball. We praise you, Lord, that you will carry us through this broken earth that we ruined, and that you have a promise for tomorrow. Lord, there are so many of us that have desires, we have wishes, but we all have needs. The greatest need is for your Son, Jesus. So, Lord, as we leave here today, I ask, would you empty us of all the junk and fill us with yourself, so that light, your light, can shine into this dark world. No matter how dark it gets, Lord, we will shine. And we will tell the enemy to bring it on. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Oh, Jerry's got something to say. Jerry, you got something to say?
I'm supposed to top that.
I'm taking my water.
What's the chips?
I always relieve the chips.
Yeah, the chips are still
there. Well, thanks, Chad. That's a great message. And that's something that we all need to hear and all need to be conscious of every day. When we were talking about trying to put a service together this morning without Jim, and deacons are kind of looking at each other going, okay, who's talking next? You kind of get that where you go, Lord, give me something to say. And the answer I got was, I'll give you some direction, but all the dumb stuff you say is on you. I'm not taking the blame. So, ended up, I decided, well, I'd share a few random thoughts. And one of those thoughts was kind of, where did you come from? And about some of the experiences in your life, the way you were raised, makes you what you are. And this morning, with losing Helen, one of the things I got to thinking of, we're back on the farm, and one of the guys' farms that we worked on was Bill Swank. And Bill spent a lot of time in our house, ate a lot of dinners with us, continually smoked a pipe. And I was probably about 10 years old when Bill made me make a promise to him. He said, you know, he said, this smoking's a bad habit. And he said, I will not make you promise that you'll never take up smoking. But he said, if you'll promise me you'll never take up smoking until you're 40, he said, by then you'll be wise enough, you will not. I did hear somebody say one time about speaking. They said there's three B's to speaking. One is be humorous. The second one is be brief. And the third one is be seated. So I'll be briefer than Chad. But as I think about how things have worked out in my life and some of the people that have been involved and some of the experiences involved, and as you look over your life, there's always some significant thing that happened that you'll remember forever. And one of the things that builds you into taking you places that you go yet today. I was fortunate to have parents that neither smoked nor drank, and guess what? This son didn't either. Well, not much. Let's put it this way, I don't today. We all make mistakes in our youth. But one of the things that I think about that, like I said, some of those memories that stick with you, one of the things that my dad was really good at was giving us new experiences. For no reason, I don't know that we requested a pony. My dad bought us a pony. And that turned into a horse and a pony, and then two horses, and then three horses, and a trailer that he built to haul all three of them. And the folks that we associated with in the Saddle Club from that, good Christian people, people that are fun to be around. And then my dad always had a quest for knowledge. And one of the experiences that he gave us when, I don't know, I guess I was about 10, 11, we went on a family trip. We went out through the West, through Yellowstone, visited some friends and some family actually in Idaho. But one of the things that happened on that trip was I fell in love with the mountains. And some of the best trips that I've been on was to get out there in the Rocky Mountains and just enjoy the majesty that God has laid for us. A lot of times we don't seem to see that day to day, and yet it's there. It's always there. When the people from eastern Colorado come here in the summer, they are amazed at how green everything is. When we go there in the summer, we're amazed at how gorgeous those mountains are. So sometimes it's just, what is your perspective? But I'm fortunate to have been raised in the church. I'm fortunate to have been saved in the church. I'm fortunate to have this church family that we get to celebrate every Sunday our love for Christ. Something that we missed earlier was the opportunity for some folks that have never been with us to introduce themselves. Have you folks been here before? Would you introduce yourselves to us, please?
Hello, I'm Ron Stokes.
Hi, I am his mother, Suetta Stokes.
Noah, you want to introduce this young lady for us?
this one that your girlfriend has, and you have to talk
about. One of the things that we traditionally do is embarrass folks the first time they're here, and then after that, your family. So, but again, I just, like I said, random thoughts, a few things to share with you, and let you know how much I really appreciate the church family we have here. And that's all because of God's love. There you go, Mike, your turn. Good morning.
Some of you know my story, some of you don't. I was saved when I was about 7 years old. Ed and Betty Stangle made sure we went to, at that time it was Zion Bethel over here on 400. And I got saved in that church. And probably 3 weeks later, Bob Marion took us to Calvary Baptist. And I got saved in that church because I wasn't sure I did it right the first time. At 7 years old, you never know. You know, as a kid, you don't know. But I've been very fortunate in my life that, you know, there's some things that I've had to go through and some things that the Lord kept me from. And I guess what I want to talk about today is what if, okay? And I'll start that off in Proverbs chapter 7. And for some reason, that's always resonated with me. And I know it's talking about adultery and so on and so forth, but the first four verses really resonated with me. It says, "My son, keep my words and treasure my commands within you. Keep my commands and live." It doesn't say keep my commands and stay in your house or hide in the basement or fear anything. Because there's no place in this Bible that it tells you to fear something, because the Lord is always with you. Okay? He takes that on himself. Okay? When you have a problem, if you give it to him, he will help you answer it. Okay? So live meant a great deal to me. "And in my law, as the apple in your eye, bind them to your fingers, write them down on a tablet in your heart." Okay? So no matter what situation you get in life, you have it written down inside you. You know the answer from right and wrong. You know the answer. So when he reached down to me when I was seven, I reached up to him. Now it's my job to reach down to somebody else and help lift them up. There are so many situations in our life that we can make a difference, but we're either afraid or we don't know how. Have him help you. I don't know why I'm getting emotional right now. Maybe this has been on my heart for a long time. But as hands of God, we can reach down and we can pick somebody up. Maybe it's not just a hand. Maybe it's an ear. Maybe we can sit with somebody and let them explain their story to you. And then pick them up and help them understand that there is a greater power out there. There is a greater being out there. The Bible's kind of been a butt of jokes here lately. And like we said, it was getting worse. People make punchlines from it and so on and so forth. That's not my beliefs. And I know everybody sitting in this building today, it's not their beliefs. But unless we go out and show that, and we be the hands, the ears, the feet, we're not reaching out enough to bring other people back to this. And I was reading something the other day about Xennials, which is what, the new generation out there. Some of it's coming back to this. Some of this is coming back to His word and His promises that He's always kept. We're not done. We've got a long way to go. But we have to fight back. Do what's right. Reach out. We had a soup supper yesterday. I don't know how many new people out of the community come, but some people come just to see what the church was about. We got new folks here today. You're here because you're supposed to be here. You know, I'm a true believer that where you're at in your life right now is where you're supposed to be. The problem is, in our brains, we want to be somewhere else. But God has us in the place that we are right now because we're either learning or growing or doing something for Him that we don't understand. And as our life progresses, we'll have different enactments with other things and to learn other knowledge and so on and so forth. And it might be 50 years from now before we use that information, but He was training us for that purpose along the way. What if? That is the question. What if? Do I have the courage to reach out? Do I have the passion, the understanding, whatever word you want to use? Am I that person? Do I have the fortitude to say, what if? What if I stayed out of my own way? You know, people, we in general get in trouble because we think we know best. That's coming from within this part and not within this part. Okay? Because we think we know more. And sometimes we get smacked and we know where our place is again. Sometimes it goes on for a while and later on you wished you wouldn't have. You know, I talk to the boys all the time. Protect your heart. That's where these words are supposed to be. If you watch horror films or this or that or the other, what are you filling your heart with? Once you see it, you can't unsee it. So protect what you do. Okay? And that goes for the younger generation mainly. Okay? I'm 54 years old this year. But the young kids starting out, yes, I'm talking to you. Protect your heart. It'll save you in the long run. You know, horror movies, things like that. You talked about it earlier, that show Lucifer. I don't watch any of that stuff. Because like I said, once you see it, you can't unsee it. And every day the devil is whispering in your ear, one thing or another, to try you to veer you off the path that you're on. And, you know, you have to be diligent to protect yourself, to protect your heart. So, what if?
Thanks, guys, for those testimonies. There is one thing I need to do. I thank everyone for being here today. You're all welcome back next Sunday. We will all be having communion, as I said. We'll have that next Sunday, as well as our carrying dinner and quarterly business meeting. So at this time, Jerry, would you take us in prayer, sir?
Once again, Lord, we are just so thankful to come together to worship You. Lord, even we proved it today. You proved it today. When things are not going as planned, You still manage to lead us, guide us, get us going in the right direction, and get us where, Lord, we can still celebrate being Your children and rejoice in the fact that You have saved us for eternal life. These things we pray through the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.